Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Nevermore.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I want to talk about Raw. That's what I want to do. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like we ran out of time again to record the podcast.
No, I know. I think we should probably just dive straight into this old episode.
It's because
right
it was
here.
So exciting. Yeah, I can't wait. Totally not because we ran out of time.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's Money in the Bank this weekend. We're very, very excited. We totally remembered it was happening. So yeah, we are going to talk about Raw here. We've got two big topics to talk about, one of which is, did WWE botch the return of AJ Styles? Because Oliver Davis certainly has some thoughts on that. And poor old Ricochet. Here is the show.
Like talking about AJ Styles coming back at the end of a gauntlet match and winning it, meaning he qualifies for Money in the Bank. It sounds like he's become his last tormentor, The Undertaker. But specifically, how the gauntlet match unfolded and how they actually made AJ Styles return as a babyface. About 5 minutes before he returned as a really heelish heel.
Yeah.
In the match. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That doesn't make any sense. Like, I've watched the wrong thing. I accidentally, a feed cut in. How could that happen? But trust me, WWE found out a way to do it. So here's what happened.
I was going to say, no, you run us through. Tell us what happened.
So Apollo Crews was kayfabe injured last week in the Andrade match, meaning his spot was taken out of Money in the Bank. Raw ran a gauntlet match, which began with Bobby Lashley running through Titus O'Neil, obligatory reminder that Titus O'Neil kissed his son on the lips, Akira Tozawa and Shelton Benjamin in very quick fashion. And then Bobby beat up Humberto Carrillo too much, so they had to disqualify Bobby, you know, that really rubbish cop-out WWE finish. Then it was Angel Garza versus Humberto Carrillo. I thought this was pretty good stuff. Love Garza. Carrillo is what he is these days. But Carrillo snuck out a victory. It was a fluke roll-up. It felt like a botch, but whatever. And then Austin Theory comes out. He also, like, has a, you know, just a basic match with Carrillo. Now, in this, they go to commercial break. But it's not a normal commercial break. It's a bit of what we in the biz call integrated sponsorship, where you sort of run something integrated into the fabric of the program itself. Not a separate ad break where you have separate commercials. This was completely designed by your production department and where it fits in the running order. And it was Dairy Queen having a family enjoying some of the Dairy Queen delights, And AJ Styles is on a headset being like, I'm going to surprise these people. Ha ha ha. My hair. And he goes and surprises them.
I'm going to tell them that the earth is flat.
Wait till I blow their minds with 5G. And he goes out there and he's like, yeah, look, it's me, WWE superstar AJ Styles. Drink it up, family. Enjoy your Dairy Queen. Aren't we all great? And I'm like, okay. Well, we already know that AJ Styles is going to make his return on this show, likely in the Gauntlet, because that came out over the weekend. Weird placement to do it here. I guess that means he's coming back as a babyface. So it cuts back to Raw. It's still Austin Theory versus Humberto Carrillo. Carrillo gets another fluke roll-up win that does nothing for anyone. AJ Styles, presumably feeling that Carrillo was just about to get a push, comes out and just beats him up in the most heelish way possible, wins the match, and then beats him down some more afterwards, and then cuts a heel promo about throwing either Aleister Black or Rey Mysterio off the top of a building, and then implying it'll murder them. So why on earth do you run that Dairy Queen sponsorship spot before AJ comes back, with him displaying the complete opposite character, which just says to me as a viewer, you're an idiot. You're an idiot for pretending that this is all real and that you can get invested in it. They're just actors playing wrestlers. They're not, that all of this doesn't mean anything to you. That was the impression I got. It enormously frustrated me.
I didn't spot it until you had mentioned it. And I did, and then I thought, yeah, that was a bit of a weird thing to do. But to be honest, I thought this Gauntlet match was so terrible that it didn't even, like, it didn't register in my mind that they had effectively brought back AJ Styles and then brought him back again. Because, like, the whole AJ thing was meant to be this big surprise. So I think if it were me, I wouldn't have run that sponsorship spot, because you'd want to make sure people, you haven't mentioned AJ since the Boneyard match, so don't mention him again until he makes a return. Then it's like, oh my God, AJ's back. But as soon as you run that Dairy Queen commercial, you're like, oh yeah, AJ, I haven't seen him in a while. I wonder where he is. Oh, there he is. But he's back again now. But yeah, like, as I said, the structure of this Gauntlet match was so asinine. And just, I mean, WWE, they bloody love a Gauntlet match. They bloody love them. They'd do them every week if they could. This is one of the worst ones they've ever done, because it accomplished nothing and made everyone look pretty bad. And, like, I don't even think AJ got anything out of this.
Yeah, so I guess the two things coming out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 entrance into this Gauntlet match was for AJ to win, Humberto Carrillo looked like an underdog babyface, and Bobby Lashley looked like a monster. They failed at two of those, which was the vast majority of the match, where Lashley was beating people up, sure, and I love his spear, but he's an idiot at the end of the day, because he just, you know, he kicked Carrillo in the corner for a bit too long. And then Carrillo, yeah, underdog babyface, he beat Garza and Theory, which does nothing for them, by the way, because Theory just feels like a non-entity, really, fudged into a faction. Whereas Garza, who actually has some charisma and appeal, he just loses week after week after week. What's the point of beating them here besides the fact that you need a babyface to get beaten up by AJ Styles later on? That's probably the real reason Humberto ran the Gauntlet for so long. Not that they have any plans for him. So yeah, that doesn't work either. So it was just, ugh. And it went on for, it did seem to go on forever.
But I thought, I mean, I figured it was going to run a while, because this was a taped show, and a good way to fill up time in a taped show is to do a really long Gauntlet match. And you know what? WWE have got a great track record of doing amazingly long Gauntlet matches, like just really getting over people within those matches. But Bobby gains absolutely nothing from beating Titus O'Neil. Also, makes Raw look like absolute pants when Titus O'Neil is a possible contender for a Money in the Bank spot. He gets nothing from beating Akira Tozawa, because everyone beats Akira Tozawa. And gains nothing from beating Shelton Benjamin. Did you see Sean Ross Sapp's tweet about this? Reigning Quizzlemania champion Sean Ross Sapp. No. Shelton Benjamin hasn't won a singles match on Raw since 2006.
Oh, he wasn't in the company for quite a while there. I think but even still so. Damning.
Damning, yeah. So he gains nothing from beating those three guys. And then when he comes to like beating up Carrillo too much and getting DQ'd, it makes him look like an idiot. And then he starts apologizing to the referee, which makes him look like he kind of undo all of the badassery that he did by beating Titus Akira and Shelton by then being like, oh, I'm sorry, mate. So I didn't mean to beat him up too much. Please let me have another go, mister. Please let me have another try at this. It didn't work. And then Carrillo's run from this is get your ass kicked by Angel Garza for ages, then get a fluke roll up. Get your ass kicked by Austin Theory for ages and get a quick roll up. Get your ass kicked by AJ Styles for ages and lose. How does that get anyone over? Like that, it did absolutely nothing for him.
As we're talking about this, I think the aim definitely wasn't to get Carrillo over. It was to get AJ over. The plans for Carrillo do not extend outside of this match. It was purely beat him down, make him an underdog. People will get invested in him. Didn't happen, but that was the idea, the theory. And then when AJ beats him, oh, AJ, you're so wicked. You cut underdog hero's feet from underneath him. As a TV show, utterly fails. It's mm-hmm. like, I would not expect this of anything that I watch seriously. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. If I was to watch I would even find it annoying if I was what, actually, what would I? So say I'm watching Killing Eve, just because that's what I'm watching right now. And in the commercial break, if BBC had commercial breaks, Sandra Oh did a little bit about, oh, and you know, here's me with a Make-A-Wish kid. Or like, here's me with BT Broadband. I don't actually think it would jar with me that much. But for whatever reason, the whole kayfabe way of presenting wrestling, it really did.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's in the terms of wrestling in the kayfabe world, they're never presented as, like, Sandra Oh in Killing Eve and in sort of, you know, life is presented as an actor playing roles. She is an actor who plays various different roles. Wrestlers aren't presented the same way. They are presented as wrestlers. They are not like it's not Alan Jones wrestling against I don't know what this shows why this is why I never win at Quizlemania, because I don't know if that I don't know if Umberto Carrillo is his real name. So like we don't know if it's really, you know, it's not that. It's presented as AJ Styles versus Umberto Carrillo. So yeah, so then when you kind of break that kayfabe to have like AJ Styles, who is this out and out heel, to be like, hey guys, I'm eating at Dairy Queen and I'm hanging out with the families. This is a great time. Come on down. Maybe it's just an American thing that we don't understand. Maybe this is just more prevalent in the States and it's just something that we don't really experience here.
No, we get it a lot on TV here as well, I think. It's just, I just don't want to see it in a wrestling show or in the breaks of a wrestling show. I want to lose myself in the idea that these wrestlers are the wrestlers. I know they're not, but it punctures my enjoyment of the show. And it wasn't even a proper commercial break. It was a integrated into Raw. This was part of Raw telling me that this isn't real. I guess, yeah, maybe that's where it comes down to then. If it was a commercial break, fine, not continuity, cut it out. This was the equivalent of a video package.
Yeah. This was, you know, the equivalent of promoting Money in the Bank coming this Sunday, because it was a shrink screen. You could still see the Raw match going on next to it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So
for whatever tomorrow brings. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, well, it's now time to do some Patreon shout-outs. So thank you all so much for our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers. The poll for Wrestle Talk Extra will be going up very, very soon. Today, in fact, I've got to finish it after I've done this live stream, where, we got some doozies in there, a lot of late 90s stuff, but also some of those mid-2000s and some 2010 stuff as well in there. It's quite a broad spectrum. Some extreme rules and stuff in there. So, you know, there's some winners in there. There's no Backlash 2000, obviously, because we're never going to get to do that. But we've got to give a shout-out to Mr. Rockwell.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Soaring high, resting on weed.
Woo! Oh, yes. Liam Midsummer Murders.
Thank you very much. The Notorious Ali Atta. Woo!
Oh, he's notorious. The Long Con, Josh Conley.
Thank you very much. Matt Netic Field.
Ooh. Very good. I like that one. Oh, you can do the next one.
Blah, 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 blah.
The Craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Whoa.
Wonderwall, Brian Gallagher.
Thank you, Brian. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Very good. Ross Hooper Scooper Cooper.
Thank you. Bad connection, Thomas Lag Den.
Thank you, Thomas. And lastly for this episode, Jack Daniels on the Carl Rocks.
Thank you ever so much, all you wonderful Patreons. We couldn't do a lot of the stuff that we do without you. And thanks also to Bumhead Rob for being in the chats today, as well as Mod Mother Jenna and Garage Art with a V Les. You're cheers, the best. Should we see what people thought of it before getting into the Ricochet burial? We haven't got any comments on that, but we have got some from Raw in general. Darren Battery, Lashley got DQ'd because he pushed the ref, right?
No, because the referee was already admonishing him for beating him up too much in the corner, and then said, "I'm going to DQ you." And that's when Lashley started to apologize, right? Mm. And then the referee DQ'd. Also, like, refs get pushed around a lot. Like, that makes the ref look bad.
And it's such an inconsistent thing, because where is the line of a wrestler beating up another wrestler? Sometimes it's a DQ. Sometimes they can throw steel steps into heads and it's totally fine. Chocobo Kid, Zombie Styles better bite someone in WWE Die Hard. Who should he bite?
Because he's now, like, he's risen from the grave.
Yeah.
I don't know who we should bite, because, like, I don't know, like, it's Ray, I guess.
Jobber JJ 496, Dairy Queen and WWE, best of both worlds. Yeah.
Certainly is. We've also had this from Nate Drop Surname over at StreamYard, StreamLabs rather, who said, do you think the risk is worth the reward in the most unique Money in the Bank ladder match in history? Geez, they really drilled that home. Who gets the Jurassic Park spot where they hide in the kitchen and have someone spear a shiny cabinet?
Oh, that's a great idea. We were, me, Laurie and Adam were talking about some really good little spots they could do in the Money in the Bank match. It's in our predictions later, so subscribe, enable notifications. You'll know first when that goes live. Like you should also do for Parts Fun Known, because No Roles Barred, our Wrestling D&D series, we had a one-shot go live on Sunday where it's all of us playing characters in the year 3000, where wrestling matches don't have wrestlers anymore. It's giant mechs.
Oh yeah, and it was a lot of fun. It was really, really good. The reception to it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that. I got to do an accent the entire time as well, so that was a good lark. Also download the podcast if you want to just listen to the audio only version.
Because if you want to know more about Rick Thunder, check it out. And also Quizlemania 5. Six is I stop paying attention when I'm not on it. Is there tomorrow with Steve? Has it been announced yet?
It has been announced, yeah.
With Steve from Steven Larson.
Yeah, so it's going to be myself and Pete returning again with reigning champion Sean Ross Sapp and special guest star Steve here from Steven Larson. It's going to be fun because I haven't done anything with Steve since he guested on the Raw review last year. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with him again.
Yeah, please beat Sean Ross Sapp. Shun him up.
I don't like you much.
So the actual episode of Raw, which was a Money in the Bank go home episode, opened with MVP doing the same deal he did last week, the VIP lounge, but this time with the lady competitors. Out came Asuka, out came Shayna Baszler. They took the big comfy sofas. Nia Jax came out, looked at them both, and sat on the table between them, the tiny coffee table between the two sofas. I'm on Nia's side. I'm on Nia's side, WWE. Week after week, you're making me look like an idiot.
Yeah, she did not look great in this segment. Just sat on that tiny little table, sort of like squashed between the two sofas. It just looked like you're a bit awkward at a party, but and you want to sit down, but you don't really know that person over there, so you don't want to sit down next to them. And you can't, don't want to sit down next to the other person because you don't know them either. So the only place you can sit down is on the table. And as soon as you sit down on the table, you're like, oh no, why did I do that? Now I look weird because I've just sat down on a table.
That's exactly what happened.
I'm drawing attention to myself.
Asuka yelled some stuff in Japanese. She's very charismatic. I thought Shayna came off pretty well as well in her promo. And they both looked like they were going to come to blows, but they both kicked Nia Jax as she was sitting down on this table. And Nia Jax did a comedy roll, like a Rock Stelling the Stunner style reaction to this kick, and flipped out the ring. And then laid there for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, considering that the three of these people like couldn't even have a match together last week because they were going to tear each other apart, this didn't really feel like the same three people that were there last week. And then MVP was holding back Asuka and Shayna. You can really tell that the Paul Heyman is trying to help out Shayna Baszler with her promos because she did part of hers in Latin, which is something that Paul Heyman has done previously, did that during the invasion.
So I thought this segment was, as much as I didn't like the AJ stuff, I thought this was rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a rubbish segment. And really, like, I know we've got Nia gets a lot of criticism. She was made to look terrible here. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why you would do that for someone you are seemingly protecting and making look strong. Then we had the gauntlet match. We've already been through that. And Throughout the night, there was also the top 10 Money in the Bank moment countdowns.
Yes, which, you know, I thought was a fun little countdown, and ended with a slightly odd edit for the number one position, which was Seth Rollins cashing in, where apparently he pinned Brock Lesnar to win the title at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, who was Brock having a match against? It looked like Brock was just wrestling himself, and then yeah. Seth cashed in.
Yeah, very, very bizarre. Yeah.
I think we'll see a lot of this, though. Not the Roman Reigns being awkwardly edited off the face of the product. More the top 10 countdowns, very easy filler content to put around the ad breaks. I've done it on loads of TV shows. It's like the easiest thing to do. So we got it last week with the Triple H stuff and here as well. On the Roman Reigns thing, I would like to chat about it a bit because, mm-hmm. you know, there's the backstage heat speculation, which I don't think anyone's actually reported. Oh yeah, there's backstage heat. It's just, he's being removed off of all the stuff to a huge degree after pulling himself off of WrestleMania, which was a huge deal, obviously. I don't think there's ill will towards him. I think it's just WWE panicking and not wanting to even, if they address a little bit of why he isn't there, they have to address the whole Steve Corino situation. And it, you know, really exposes them for running a dangerous product.
Yeah, I mean, it. I suppose in a way, I didn't really sort of consider it from that way because I was chatting with a couple of the guys from the websites about this in our Discord channel. You know, we're sort of like speculating back and forth, and I was like, you know, because they've kept his name off TV, and apparently they're like that. The report was that Vince doesn't want his name mentioned. And I was like, well, you could just do stuff from his home, like, you know, video calls from his home where you can talk about how he made the decision to isolate away from people. He wants to protect himself, lean into the recovering from leukemia, you know, twice, you know, being a real hero in that sense. And the fact that his wife is pregnant, you can build that, you know, some sort of character stuff around that and explain why he's not there. But I hadn't really considered it from what you just said then, which is by doing that, you have to use the words that they're not using. And they're not saying there is this pandemic going on and everyone is self-isolating away, because then you do essentially ask that question. It's like, well, why are you live then? Because it is like, I mean, I've talked about this on the Friday podcast, but the amount of friends that have texted me saying like, oh my God, what are you doing for work at the moment? Because surely there's no wrestling on. And then I have to text back and be like, oh, no, there's still wrestling and it's live. And they're like, how does that even work? And you're like, well, the Florida government, and you kind of sort of text back and forth. But I don't think there are a lot of people that are sort of they're not aware of the fact that WWE is, or an AEW, wrestling is the only sport that is still running live shows when every other sport has shut down.
Yeah. It's bizarre. I had the exact same conversation with my insurance broker, the company insurance broker. They were like, you know, because it's how you start off every light conversation phone call, isn't it? Oh, what, you know, how are you finding things at the moment? Is work okay? Like, yeah, it is. It's here's what's happening. And so after that, we got Seth Rollins having a really good sit down in-ring interview with Charlie Caruso.
This was awesome. It was short and sweet, and it got over his character. It got over the feud with Drew. It got over the match at Money in the Bank. I thought this was awesome. Really, really like this.
What I really loved is how he reframed the whole feud with Drew. You know, this personal animosity, really, that is definitely underlying this. It's from a character perspective. But he reframed it as, no. Like, Drew's perfectly fine, but I need to save him because this is my destiny and I need to unburden the championship from him. You know, like sort of positioning every dastardly thing he's doing and selfish thing he's doing as helping someone else.
That's exactly it.
Brilliant character work. Excellent.
Yeah. And it was then, that line of, I'm not trying to take it from him. I'm trying to unburden. Like, yeah, I thought that was really smart. I loved it.
Seth is nailing this character, and he has. It has been ever since he turned heel. It's extraordinary work. So, and massive props to him, because I really didn't like him last year. Nope. But now I love not liking him in the right way. After that, we went backstage to Charlie Caruso again. There was something in between here. She didn't just evaporate, teleport between positions. And it's Murphy talking about his match with Drew McIntyre in the main event, saying how he's loyal to Rollins. I just love this as well. You know, he's always standing there in the sort of disciple pose.
Yeah, and saying that one day he'll be on the same level as Seth Rollins. Mm. So there was a bit of foreshadowing, perhaps.
And now it's time for Ricochet to get buried.
Yeah, so the segment that we did skip over was Shane Thorne and Brendan Vink backstage with MVP, saying, right, telling MVP that they're going to get a win tonight. They're going to win. Because last week, MVP revealed himself to be their manager and say, you know, I've got this team. They're going to take you on, Cedric and Ricochet. And they're going to show you that, you know, they're not just whatever. They're Brendan Vink and Shane Thorne. So entwined is this unit that MVP did not come out with them for their tag team match. Like, why not?
That's exactly what I thought. I was just like, if Thorne and Vink have already been beaten quite decisively by Alexander and Ricochet about 2 weeks ago, here we get another match, and this time they've got MVP in their corner. And I thought, okay, well, MVP will try and interfere. Either he'll help them win, or he'll kind of use this as a way to recruit Alexander and Ricochet to his faction. And then he wasn't even out there. And no. Thorne and Vink won anyway. Yeah. And it was just like, Vink's what are you trying to accomplish?
Yeah. Well, what they're trying to accomplish is Brendan Vink's a big guy. The big guy got the win over the smaller guys. Like, Shane Thorne wasn't the guy that won this match. Brendan Vink was the man that won this match as the big guy.
I thought it was quite exciting. You know, of course it is. It always is going to be when Ricochet's in the ring. Cedric Alexander's excellent. But they did quite a few spots. They kept me guessing what the result was going to be. But I thought the result was going to be Ricochet and Alexander. I think that would have been I don't even know if it's the right result. It's just both teams have been booked into nothingness.
Yeah, it was not as you say, the match was fun to a degree. But as soon as Brendan Vink effectively started no-selling Ricochet and Alexander because he's the big guy, I was like, oh, they're getting the win here. And that's the storyline they're going to be telling, which I don't think, because they've been positioned to a certain level, and that is you are enhancement talent. So them getting a win over Cedric and Ricochet without some semblance of interference, they just won because they were the better team, really devalues all of this stock you've been putting into Cedric and Ricochet. Like, it does nothing for them. And really doesn't do much for Vink and Thorne either, because at the moment, I mean, this is a more extreme example, but Jinder was a jobber and then a week later was WWE champion. Like, that was a big jump. And this was, again, a very big jump, and it's hard to kind of buy into. And it would have made so much more sense if MVP was out there at ringside coaching them and giving them advice, interfering, and that's how they get the win. Then Ricochet and Cedric don't lose anything then. They lost to a three-man team. They lost to the outside interference. Here, they just lost because they suck.
Yeah. And it really is indicative of WWE not caring about Ricochet. You know, it's a real shame about Cedric Alexander. He's enormously talented. I love watching him wrestle, the way he wrestles. But Ricochet, he is twice with Will Ospreay, I guess. But he's legit one of the best high flyers in the world. And you're just using him like this.
Yep.
And to be here after 9 months, you know, when he's getting that slow rise in the United States title picture with AJ, then he gets sort of booked into oblivion. Then he got, you know, the title match against Brock Lesnar was barely 2 months ago. I know that came about in a weird roundabout way, but then to go to this, it makes Ricochet look terrible, and it makes the Universal Championship look a bit lame as well.
Why the Universal Championship?
Oh, sorry, the WWE Championship.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think of Brock, and I think of the red belt.
Yeah, they got it over, man. They got it over.
So after that, though, we had a terrific tag match.
This was
crowd or not. Street Profits versus Viking Raiders. I thought this was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, I even loved, I loved Street Profits promo beforehand, talking about how, like, you know, this is the building where it all began, the building where they met. It felt like they're trying to be a bit more serious Viking Raiders, a bit more serious Street Profits, which is what Bianca Belair has been saying to them. Like, you need to drop the comedy stuff. You need to be more serious, because if you're not, then you can't beat this team. They do keep beating you. And so they're out there being like, no, it's, we are going to beat you. We can beat you. We want that smoke. And what I loved about this is that this was not a typical WWE tag match. This wasn't one of the teams was just beating up the other. This wasn't the big guys were just beating up the little lad for ages. And then the little lad gets a hot tag. The big guy runs in and he does some big guy stuff. This was like both teams got hot tags. Like, you know, they worked over Ford for a bit. He tagged in Dawkins. And then Dawkins and Ford started working over one of the Viking Raiders to build to the other Viking Raider getting the hot tag. It was a competitive back and forth match, and it made both teams look wicked coming out of it. And the Viking Raiders pinning them, like, you know, it establishes them as they should be the top team going against the Street Profits, and makes me excited to see another match between them.
Yeah, I hate it when the challengers beat the champions in a non-title match to set up a title match, but, you know, there are exceptions to that rule. And at the end, when the commentary team did an actually pretty good job of putting over, man, the Raiders have got to go over after the titles now. They've got to get a championship match after this. I was like, yeah, they should. I want to see this again. So, yeah, great stuff by all four guys. The only thing I'd say is, you know, I just wish the Viking Raiders did a bit of singing in their promo if they had one.
There was no legs of meat.
It's a shame. Then we had Drew McIntyre in a Caruso interview backstage. So Charlie Caruso kind of catches him unaware. He's got his back to her. And he just goes, oh, sorry, didn't see you there, Charlie. Comes across as like the nicest, politest, affable guy. And none of that takes away from the fact that he is simultaneously badass and a fighting champion. I love him.
Yeah, it might look like I'm sort of slightly ignoring you somewhat here, but I had a tweet that I got today that I wanted to read out. Let me try and find it. You carry on, because it was something that I wanted to bring up to you. I've got it here. Okay, so do you want to talk about this at the Drew match? Because it's a question about Drew. Or do you want to address it now?
Let's ask it. Ask it now.
So this came in from to me on Twitter. It just said, I'm really begging for someone to explain how Drew's gimmick / booking is good. He's burying everyone and making everyone else look terrible. And in my opinion, is now just a modern Brock Lesnar. I'm rooting for Rollins.
Wow. Well, you know, you're never going to please everybody. That said, go back and look at pretty much any hot babyface champion, and this is how you book them. The difference is sometimes they don't connect as a babyface with the audience, like how we had with Roman Reigns, how we had with John Cena. But if you go back and you look at Rock, Austin, Hulk Hogan, back in the territory days, the champion would be booked the strongest and beat people who were beneath him quite easily. And people would just pay. Goldberg, another example. You just want to see them win. And I personally, and I think I speak for a lot of people, love Drew. Like, he's got Cody level. He's reaching Cody levels of bromance. And of course, unreciprocated bromance with me as an on-screen character. And I just want to see him win, because he is booked very smartly. He's a smart baby face. He doesn't get like, oh no, I'm going to look up the ramp because the heel is there. You know, he's always at the end of this show, Seth Rollins blindsides him, but he chases him off. He stands tall. I think they are doing an excellent job with Drew, and I think Drew is doing an excellent job with what they're giving him.
I agreed. I mean, I really like what they're doing with Drew at the moment, and I really like Drew as champion. I'd like to see him in longer matches, but, you know, you can't have everything, and that's fine. And, you know, he doesn't need to be having a longer match with Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy isn't challenging for the WWE Championship this Sunday. Seth Rollins is. So, yeah, Drew should be beating him and looking awesome doing it.
You want to save your champion's long matches for pay-per-view or the rare TV long one. Exactly. Because then you build up this enigma presence of, man, he's a money guy. Like, he really puts on the big pay-per-view matches. That's what champions are for. Mm-hmm. So after that, we got a Raiders promo, and then we got an Aleister Black promo and a Rey Mysterio promo separately backstage, talking about wrestling diehard and AJ's threat of throwing them off the top of the building. I love this because Rey Mysterio looks at the camera and talks earnestly about the dangers of competing in this Money in the Bank match, like the same way as if it's a normal ladder match or a Hell in a Cell match or an Elimination Chamber match. Like, oh, it's going to take years off my career. But no, they're not talking about a ladder match or some chains or the chamber. They're talking about being thrown off a building.
Yeah.
Which is significantly more serious. Yeah. It really is bringing a gun to a wrestling angle or a knife. It doesn't usually work, but I don't know how they're doing it. I am 100% into this. I cannot wait for this match on Sunday. I want to see someone get thrown off the roof.
It was really highlighted for me, the point you're making there in Aleister Black's promo where he said, if you throw me off the roof, you better pray I don't get back up. And I was like, yeah, you're not going to, mate. You could have been thrown off a bloody roof of a building. You're going to be dead.
We, in the predictions video that goes up later, Adam talked about how, I think Laurie said Otis is getting thrown off. I won't say how, like the angle that goes towards that. But if he does, he'll just go through the center of the earth and end up in Australia.
Very good.
But I thought this was enormously fun. Charlotte Flair versus Liv Morgan was fun. I liked it. I liked Liv Morgan. You know, she's doing her whole, I don't know what my character is. I'm searching for my identity. And it seems like she's just going back to Harley Quinn, Liv Morgan, which there was no problem with in the first place. I thought that was a really fun wrestling gimmick to have. But she had a good showing against Charlotte here.
Yeah, it's not rare to see WWE fumble a ball quite like this. But I think this might be one of the biggest fumbles that WWE have done in recent memory in terms of bringing a character back. Like, you know, she was taken off TV because of Charlotte. Charlotte beat her on SmackDown and Liv was like, no, I need to find who I am. Then she goes off missing TV for months. She then has this series of promos where she is sexy girl in bath. And then at one point you thought there was some mysterious angle to it. There was a bit of magic within the promos. Then she comes back and she is just like, she is lesbian lover to Lana, never brought up again. Her and Rusev storyline with Lana and Lashley just dies of death and just gets no payback, no payoff whatsoever. She has a feud with Ruby Riott that gets dropped for 2 months. Then they had a match, then had another match to make sure that feud really was done. And now she's out here going like, I don't know what my character is. And I'm like, what has all of this been about then? What have we spent the last 9 months doing? Because apparently nothing. And I don't blame Liv in all of this. I just think WWE have fumbled this quite spectacularly. But, you know, it's one of those weeks where I get to write in my notes, person comes out for a promo, someone interrupts them and challenges them to a match. Good job they were in their gear.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, Charlotte made Liv tap in the figure eight. Yeah, it's a shame because Liv Morgan is, I think there really is something. She's remarkably good in the ring. I, you know, considering she's the least best member of the Riott squad in terms of in-ring action. But losing to Charlotte does nothing for it. You know, you can get all the near falls you want, but ultimately, after racking up quite a few losses since WrestleMania, who cares?
Yeah. You know, like so Liv beat, like she beat Natty at Mania in a nothing match. And she beat Ruby twice. And then she loses to Charlotte. So you're like, well, what did we gain from those wins? Gain nothing, really.
Then she loses to Asuka as well, somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah, I think she might have done. Yeah, like that was the night after Mania, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm.
But all good matches, all like pretty long, decent time matches. But yeah, you need to win more, really. There needs to be substance to these threats. Drew McIntyre versus Murphy was the main event. Went very quickly, you know, about 5, 6, 7 minutes in all. But I really enjoyed it. I get I It's a shame that people are looking at Drew and thinking, huh, this babyface champion is being booked really strongly and is beating everyone. Thinking that, you know, with their like maybe limited 10, 15 years of experience of WWE, that's a bad thing because they've experienced this before and it is a, you know, that was very badly done and didn't connect with the audience. But really, that's how they should be booked. And yes, I thought Drew actually made Murphy look great in this.
Yeah. I mean, what's the alternative? That you just beat Drew every week, because that's not going to help him.
He only just won the belt.
Yeah.
3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's a very
old school mentality way of booking a babyface champion. And maybe that's why it hasn't worked with a potentially new audience. But I really like it. And I think they're doing a great, great job with him. And I think that he should be beating Murphy quickly, because Murphy's not the challenger. Seth is. And you're beating Murphy in order to get to Seth. And you put over Drew Strong. And then you go, like, I wonder if Seth can be the one stopping him. What dastardly deeds can Seth pull out in order to beat this champion?
Mm. But here, lots of kickouts at one from Drew, but still made Murphy look good. It wasn't like he was undermining him. And then Seth slowly walked onto the ramp to watch on. Murphy kind of beat himself. He got cocky. He went to give a claymore to Drew, kind of as a receipt for the previous week. But Drew awesomely reversed it into a claymore of his own. Just had to lean back because he's so tall. His legs pretty much reach over to the corner where Murphy was. Then Seth walked off after the match was over. And I thought, okay, so it's going to go off air with Drew celebrating. Drew does the music thing. The lights go down a bit. And then Seth kicks him. I was totally worked. This is a very minor thing, but I don't know what it was, whether it was the timing or the sequence of events. Totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a really good closing angle. I'm really looking forward to their match this Sunday.
Yeah, same. Really, I really, really am, actually. Such a shame that it can't be on a bigger stage. Jonathan Hedman. Your thoughts on the AJ Dairy Queen spot and them being a heel is a lot like Jim Cornette's frustration with how wrestling is today. I could see the parallels there. I think we're more accepting of different styles of wrestling, whereas Cornette has how his vision of wrestling is. This is more just a consistency within the style of wrestling that is the frustration. Nikolai Azupardi. I have no idea what Rey Mysterio said because his mask was slightly to the left.
Oh, wow.
Slightly covering the mouth there. Canal El Improbabile. Losing to Charlotte does nothing for Liv, just like it won't do S-word for the whole NXT women's division. Would you agree or not? Why? Much love. Please retweet.
I mean, well, yeah, but someone will eventually beat her. So you make her look like a dominating champion, and then, you know, someone gets that big win and that really puts over that person, which I likely think will be Rhea Ripley.
Apparently, her NXT match last Wednesday was the lowest rated thing on the show.
Wow, was it really?
Whole reason of putting her down there.
Yeah, that's quite surprising.
Jesse Moctezuma, what are the odds of Cedric Alexander and Ricochet winning the tag titles? You know, someone will be thrown out of a window or off the roof.
I mean, if you are going to have Cedric and Rick win the tag titles, you need to build them first, but they're certainly not out of the realms of possibility in them winning at some point.
Jesse Moctezuma again. I had such high hopes for Liv Morgan. She's now becoming the Ricochet of the women's division.
Possibly, yeah. It's a way to look at it.
Did you manage to find the...
I did. We'll do them after we've done the Super Chats so we can keep this a bit consistent. But yeah, it's in the podcast section, not the Patreon section.
Nice.
So Timothy Beattie says, should WWE go back to 2 out of 3 falls during these shows?
Oh my God. No. I forgot that was a rule.
Yeah, do you remember that period of time where every match was 2 out of 3 falls for the ad breaks?
Yeah, that's bonkers.
Yeah.
It was bonkers when we were living through it, but now we're further away from it. Oh my God.
That's how Kofi got his first pinfall loss as WWE champion, was because of the two out of three falls nonsense. Nathan Fultz says, incoming from Kane's favorite minion. I know you're not, but I'm looking forward to the predicted Jeff Hardy push, my all-time favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I am. I like him, sure, but yeah, he's not my bag.
Funny enough, when Titus came out for his match, my note was, oh no, the super chats. And Gordon Maston has said, you wanted Titus jokes to stop. Okay, Kurt Angle grabs the Big Show shaft and then screams.
That's one to go in there.
Olivia says, did you see Nia's tweet about injuring the red ropes?
No, did she? I don't really like how she's making a thing of her unsafe working into a gimmick. It just feels a bit, yeah. It's the wrong tone, I think.
Yeah, so she posted up a gif of her pushing over the VIP lounge setup thing, you know, like the red sort of tarp, not tarpaulin ropes, but the red velvet ropes. And she wrote, confirmed, ropes injured tonight on Raw will be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's misjudged.
E Ace says, build someone up for 5 years, then pretend they don't exist when worry about their own health. Haha, classic WWE.
Yeah, well, we spoke about this earlier, but neither of us think that it's a backstage heat thing. We just think WWE don't want to acknowledge the larger situation because it kind of exposes them and puts the spotlight on their very dangerous practices.
One of my favorite things in the world, expected toast. Not saying this person is my favorite in the world, but just the idea of expected toast sounds great. Hi, dudes. Who do you think will go off the roof? I hope it's Baron Corbin. Plus, who do you hope will win Money in the Bank? I hope it's going to be Aleister Black. So I didn't do the prediction, so I will give you on this. I think it's going to be Baron Corbin, and I think it's going to be Elias that does it.
Ooh.
Paying off on the build to WrestleMania, because apparently they're still feuding for whatever reason. Elias beat him. So you artificially extend the feud, and that's how you pay it off, is with Elias getting his own long live the king and shoving him off. You better say
that winner
as well. I think AJ's winning.
Cool.
I'm pretty cool. AJ's winning. George Maston said, go on him.
I was going to say, watch the Money Bank predictions later today are my thoughts.
Good plug, mate. George Maston, I really feel for Ricochet.
Gordon.
What did I say?
You said George. George. Yeah, it sucks for Ricochet.
Yeah. The Shower Lurker, do you think they ruin the Women's Money in the Bank by promoting Becky confronting the winner next week?
I don't think they necessarily ruin it, but I don't think it was the best idea to say it. I mean, you know, a SmackDown winner can appear on Raw. Yeah. What do you think?
They showed all of the SmackDown like women in the video package. So yeah, she did said she wasn't promote like she wasn't going to confront a Raw winner. She was going to confront the Money in the Bank winner, which could be Carmella for all we know.
Because SmackDown wrestlers can cash in on Raw stars, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Of course they can. E Ace said Jeff Hardy must be sad he's not in a ladder match. No, I don't know.
You don't want him on top of a building.
John Ladshaw Brayfield says, I miss Rowan.
I know, I do too. You missed Guti 25. I'm calling it now. The person who gets... Did you say that?
No, I don't think I did, no.
I'm calling it now. The person who gets thrown off the roof wins Money in the Bank. Swerve.
Wouldn't it just... The person who gets killed will then win. Danny Milhouse, after rewatching Monday Night Wars, I'm 100% sure there will be a documentary in 10 years about how WWE screwed up NXT call-ups. Probably not on the network, but there will be at some point. Someone will have made it. Jesse Moctezuma said, Brock arrives in a helicopter to win Money in the Bank.
Yep, that's what I said when this was first announced. They can't do it 2 years in a row.
Lincoln says, this is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. That's not what the leaked pic said, Seth.
Lol. But a very good promo.
Justin Edelheit said Shayna Baszler wins Money in the Bank, swerves everyone, and cashes in on Charlotte.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that's a really smart bit of misdirection.
Yeah. Do you want to take over for the general wrestling related?
Davan Rajan says, just wanted to ask, if you could have any dream match happen, what would it be? Personally, I'd choose Daniel Bryan versus Kenny Omega. It's already happened in PWG, I think. Or Okada versus Balor. Oh, yeah. Thank you for making lockdown slightly more bearable. You're welcome. And Daniel Bryan, Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I mean, one of mine is a match that I've wanted for the last sort of 4 or 5 years, and I'm now tantalizingly close to getting it, which was the Young Bucks versus the Revival. Like, you know, that was, the Revival were my guys in NXT that I just thought they were the greatest tag team on the planet. And then you see some Young Bucks matches, like, oh no, they're the best tag team on the planet. What if they had a match? So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Nathan Fultz, on a serious note, I decided I will be attending Kane and Tom Pritchard's Knox County Wrestling School next year. Pretty excited because they produce many current WWE talent. Any advice? Get in very, very good shape if you're not already. Dear God. Because not only do you have to be strong, but the cardio conditioning routines that I had to do in the beginner's class damn near killed me. And I was pretty good nick. My mate, who just occasionally smokes, he, you know, I've never seen him look so close to passing out.
I'd also say don't go in with the idea that you're going to get signed by WWE. Just go in there and enjoy yourself.
Mm. Nathan Fultz again. We are essentially going to have a wrestling free agency. With AEW putting out a consistent product with excellent matches, promos, and an influx of known talent after Rona, could potentially turn the tide. Thoughts?
I think that AEW appeal to a very specific kind of wrestling audience. And I don't think there are 2 million people in that wrestling audience. I think there are 2 million people in the casual audience that Raw and SmackDown.
I'll carry on. Small Afro Games, Jaron Walker. Love you guys. Love you guys. Love you too, Jaron Walker.
Absolutely. He sent us a lovely little email as well that we're going to be reading out on the AEW review. I actually purposely left it because he's an NXT mark. That show. Some congratulations to him because his channel's just passed 10,000 subscribers.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Lex Schuler, finally got my Support Wrestling Screw Coronavirus t-shirt yesterday. Just wanted to say thank you and good work putting Piston in his place, Alexi Tetris.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be done.
Gazzatola of Rock and Roller. Can't stay. Just wanted to super chat in to say thanks to Ollie for getting back to my emails. No worry, man. No worries. Arvind Shastri. I hope my boy Luke wins this week's Quizlemania. We're rooting for you, Luke.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm resigned to the fact that I'm not winning Quizlemania. I just like doing it.
Shall I come into the call? And I'll be a passive observer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just read out the multiple choice answer.
Could do. We don't tend to get a lot of multiple choice options, though.
Mm.
So, like, you could try and, like, cough and be like, WrestleMania 21.
Well, you'll just think aloud. Go, I think it was Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, but it might have been Undertaker versus Triple H. I'll just do that for you. Daryl Spikerman. It's the original duo, Ollie and Luke. Bro! Hashtag coys.
I think that might be Come On You Spurs. I'm going to hazard a guess.
Way. There, I can see their stadium from down my road. Maloon Lee, 42. Love Wrestle Talk. Roman's babies were born in March.
Or is it Moon Lily?
Whatever. What did I say? Moon Lele.
Yeah. Roman's babies were born in March, were they?
I thought he announced their pregnancy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. Mark Farley. No Alex on Quizlemania. Tragedy in itself.
Yeah, she lost her, you know, she lost her queendom. She had to rescind the championship because Sean Ross Sapp won it last week, so she's not going to be on this week, which is a shame because I think she's been tremendous on the show thus far.
You can take over.
We'll do Small Afro Games. Jaron Walker's back again, said, Killing Eve is a good show. I binge-watched it on Hulu. I feel like they drag stuff out so much that watching it week to week would infuriate me.
Yeah, I watched the first two series like that, binge watched them, but I'm quite enjoying having a weekly TV show that I can look forward to, especially in these times.
Yeah, I feel like binge watching has almost killed the week-to-week model of, because that's how I always used to enjoy my content, was like, you end of an episode and it's like, oh my god, what a cliffhanger, I can't wait till next week to see what that episode is. The binge watching era, like, it's like, oh my god, I can't wait for the 5 seconds it takes for Netflix to automatically load the next episode for me. And Fergal says, can you say hi to Sarah Lyons, or Ian's maybe, who doesn't like wrestling but is listening anyway?
Oh, hi Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Sorry, I got your name wrong. And a couple of last-minute super chats from Gaston, or Gaston maybe, who said, what should Edge's feud be next? Yeah, we didn't talk about that. We're getting the returns next week of Edge, Randy Orton, and Becky Lynch. So looking to get a big number next week, I'd imagine, for the Raw ratings.
I think Edge and Randy Orton are going to come through the Titantron entrance still brawling. And their next feud is still the match they're having from WrestleMania.
Yeah. And Darren says, WWE tweeted, put your hands on official, you get disqualified, referring to Bobby Lashley. So that's why he got disqualified. It wasn't for kicking too much ass.
Well, they change the rules so often. It doesn't hold any water, unfortunately.
New Punk Rant says, since 2020, WWE is 2000 WCW. Bring in Juventud Guerrero and make him champ. Bro, thank Khan for AEW. I feel bad for WWE stars. Russo is greater than McMahon.
Oh, that's some inflammatory stuff there. You can't really think all of those things.
The shower lurker said, winner can only challenge their brand champion. That's never always been the case.
No, pretty sure that's not the case.
Peter Mullins, prediction, the mid-card vortex attacks Ray and Jeff Hardy gets his spot. Swanton off the building with the briefcase. That or the helicopter takes the win.
I don't think any of the stuff's going to happen that you said, but oh my god, I love the name helicopter.
That's so good. And Lincoln says, I got horrible histories vibes from that Seth line.
I want you to go out there and give it CX%. Still one of the funniest jokes I've ever heard.
It's very good. Gabriel Reyes, when Ollie said he might tune into the call, I thought you were about to pull a Quizzlemania cash in where you only get the last question to win.
Can you imagine if that was... That's so infuriating. That's the Mario Party way of running Quizzlemania. Should we do the... Unless there's any super chats on Streamlabs.
Oh, there is.
Oh,
over on Streamlabs, yes, you can go to is it wrestletalk.com/support?
That's the one. It's on the screen.
Well, I haven't got that screen up currently, but Ben Mack has done that to say, after AJ returned and got on the mic, he should have just said, back from the dead, assholes.
That's a good line.
And Dr. Doom said, can someone please explain to me why WWE seems to hate Ricochet and Cedric Alexander? Who did they both piss off backstage?
I don't know. You go back when Ricochet first joined NXT and so many reports were coming out about how everyone loved him because he just listened. He listened to all the old guys' advice and he changed for them. And I think Ricochet genuinely wanting it so much has diluted all the awesome stuff he can bring. I think he said yes too much. And if you're not a dick in WWE backstage and take things into your own hands a little bit, you're just going to sink to the bottom of the undercard, unfortunately.
I'm afraid so. So, I don't know if I've told you about this yet, because although we've spoken a bit today, we've been very business. Like, I was late for our morning call this morning, which means I literally came on to say hello, and then we all had to go.
Like Lionel Richie.
Because you had to go off and do your Money in the Bank predictions, which I didn't get to be a part of for various reasons.
It was all the better and then for it.
Oh, thanks, mate. And, you know, we just had a quick sort of chat before this for business stuff. But I haven't told you, I was really unwell this morning.
What?
Yeah, I didn't sleep last night.
Mate, so Luca's just kept on messaging us, you know, the whole work from home communication way. Being like, oh yeah, I'll get to this. I'm thinking, man, Luke's taken a lot on this morning. I didn't know you were ill as well.
Yeah, both me and my wife have been up all night, being very unwell. She's actually still bedridden at the moment. So yeah, clearly it was something that we ate. I'm all the better for it now. I think I managed to get it all out of my system, but I don't think she's quite reached that point yet.
Just gonna flush it out of you. Wow.
Exactly.
So it's a food poisoning thing, not, you know, he who shall not be named.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I haven't spoken to my mother about this, but when I spoke to my mother sort of back when this whole thing was kicking off, she did say there are certain signs that will point to the fact that it's not that. And all the signs that I had were very much the things that happened to me last night. So I'm not worried. Absolutely not worried about it whatsoever. And as I said, I don't feel that bad now. I feel actually pretty good. I've eaten, so that's good. My wife's starting to eat some food and hasn't thrown it back up. So we think jobs are good.
Nice work.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, please don't get ill.
I was going to say, now is not the time to be getting ill. And can I also tell you about a film I watched over the weekend?
Yes, and I also want to tell you about a film I watched over the weekend.
Okay, well, tell me about your one first.
Fighting with My Family.
Oh, you finally watched it.
It's wank.
Yeah. Oh, dear. You weren't a fan then?
You know what? It is subpar schmaltz, right?
Yeah.
It's that sort of film that you put on and it's very inoffensive and easy to a normal viewer. But to someone steeped in the backstage happenings of WWE and how vile that company can sometimes be, I found it grossly unsettling.
Unsettling?
Very inaccurate.
Yeah, the inaccurate... Funnily enough, actually, I got a message from someone who I did a podcast with a couple of years ago who messaged me to be like, oh, I watched that Page movie. I thought it was really, really good. And I messaged back being like, yeah, you know, it's okay in certain places, but like the inaccuracies of it are quite staggering. And he messaged back going like, oh, I was not expecting your biopic to be 100% accurate. And I didn't really have the heart to be like, oh, yeah, but it's so inaccurate that it's it tells this wonderful fairy tale of what... of their version of what happened.
Yeah, so of course, yeah, the historical inaccuracies are just little nitpicks from me. That doesn't really affect the film. What I do think, what I really, really didn't like was the just, wow, WWE's so good and NXT, and they just like behaved like divas was a normal thing that the whole world was doing at the time, that butterfly belt was something to fawn over. And in the, you know, in the little text at the end, spoilers, at the text at the end where it goes on to what people have done in their career later on, it says Paige was one of the first people who changed the perception of women. I was like, it's PR bollocks.
Yeah.
This was a problem of WWE's own making, and they never fixed it, really. They just did a bit of fancy branding and changed the timesheets to give the women about 5 minutes more.
They've rebadged it, you fool.
Yeah, so besides Zelina Vega's very enjoyable AJ Lee, and the brother, actually, I thought was very good. And Nick Frost and Lena Headey as the mum. They were all really, really good. And I think Florence Pugh's Norwich accent was spot on, but it was so good, it got in the way of her doing the acting.
I think as a film, it is indicative of the scene that they released at WrestleMania. When they showed off that scene with her and her brother meeting The Rock, and you're like, wow, that looks like it was a backstage WWE skit that would have appeared at like WrestleMania 2009. That's what the film feels like. And you know, I think that scene that they showed was actually very indicative of the final product.
The Rock steals the show, though. That particular bit when he cuts the full promo, oh, I got chills. Honestly, I was transported back to the Attitude Era momentarily. What was the film you watched?
Oh, I watched a Netflix movie called Dangerous Lies. Because it had come up, it was trending number two on Netflix in the UK. We thought, you know what? We've watched the first part of the trailer. Let's give this a go. Oh, it's bad. Like it's actually incomprehensibly dumb. And there are a myriad of plot holes and just issues with the film. You're like, I don't know how people just did not see this one on the written page, how a lot of these things were not addressed. My wife and I then spoke for a good hour just dissecting the film, almost scene by scene. It was a really, really fun time. But I then dived into the guy who wrote it, because I was like, who wrote this thing? David Golden. What else did he write? Check this out as a resume. Sorry, this is just from 2015 onwards. Once Upon a Holiday, Every Christmas Has a Story, Finding Father Christmas, Home for Christmas, Christmas Festival of Ice, Engaging Father Christmas, Christmas in Angel Falls, Wedding March 4, Marrying Father Christmas, A Good Wink Christmas, Reunited at Christmas, Angel Falls, A Novel Holiday, and then Dangerous Lies.
He's like the R.L. Stein of TV movie dramas.
And then I was like, what did the director do before that? Well, wouldn't you, Adam and Eve it? Hitched for the Holidays. It's a Christmas Carol. It's about a woman called Carol. Window Wonderland. What was the other one? Love Again. And A Christmas on Holly Lane. Christmas Lost and Found. My Mum's Letter from Heaven. And Dangerous Lies.
Wow. Well, all of that's in the last 5 years.
Yeah,
that
and I want to watch all of them. I want to watch all of them. Everything, particularly It's Christmas Carol, because it turns out, when I was reading the synopsis of it, it's a Christmas Carol, obviously, with a woman named Carol, and the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future is only played by one actor, because apparently they didn't have the budget to do any more, and that one actor is Carrie Fisher.
Whoa!
Right?
Okay. Well, that's that's piqued my interest.
Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. We'll be back on Thursday with the AEW review. We'll have the magazine show on the Friday. And yes, Adam, yes, people, it is Money in the Bank this weekend, which means there'll be bonus episodes out the wazoo for the Money in the Bank show, where it's the most unique Money in the Bank ladder match in history. It's Climb the Corporate Ladder. It'll be me and Adam, I think, probably doing that bonus review podcast. So check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.